Welcome back to the swamp, my friends, and welcome if you're new. Today I'm going to be sharing some creepy and downright disturbing horror stories sent in by viewers just like you. As always, if you have a story that you would like to share in a future episode, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net, or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. Now, be sure to hit that like button, subscribe if you're new, and get ready for these downright strange and rather unhinged, disturbing horror stories that'll freak you out tonight. Today's episode is sponsored by Ghostbed, and Swamp Folk, I can tell you, I absolutely love the Ghostbed products. I've been using a pillow that they've sent me for a while. It's like self-cooling, and it's honestly one of the greatest things I've ever gotten in my life. I cannot rave about it enough, so I'm really excited that they're sponsoring this episode. As I'm sure most of you swamp folk know, we love talking about people we adore, and we love getting a good night's sleep here in the swamp, especially after a good scary story. Well, that's why we love the great folks over at Ghostbed. As a family-owned company with over 20 years of experience, Ghostbed knows a thing or two about crafting the perfect mattress. They use only the most durable, supportive, and long-lasting materials so you can trust that your bed will provide you with years of excellent sleep. What sets Ghostbed apart is their signature and patented cooling technology. Say goodbye to those restless, sweaty nights of sleep. Every mattress keeps you cool and comfortable, so you can sleep like a dream. When you purchase a Ghostbed mattress, your comfort is guaranteed with their 101-night sleep trial. You can try it out risk-free and experience the difference for yourself. Plus, they offer free shipping, and most items ship within 24 hours. Visit ghostbed.com/swamped to save 50% off site-wide. Ghostbed offers high-quality mattresses at a fantastic price. Their number one seller is the Ghostbed Lux, designed with premium memory foam and cutting-edge cooling technology that reacts and adjusts to your body heat as you sleep. Or if you prefer more of a hybrid feel with both foam and coils, check out the Ghostbed Flex Hybrid for the perfect blend of comfort and support. And if you need any assistance along the way, Ghostbed has a team of dedicated sleep experts ready to help you find the perfect mattress. They'll guide you through the options and ensure you make the best choice for your needs. Ready for a more comfortable way of sleeping? Visit ghostbed.com/swamped, and because we're all about sharing the love here at the Dark Swamp, use the code SWAMPED to save 50% off your purchase site-wide. Again, that's 50% off your purchase site-wide at ghostbed.com/swamped using code SWAMPED. When I was 9 years old, my mom finally bought her first house in 2004. The house had 5 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, and a basement with a washer and dryer. However, my favorite part of the house was the backyard. To help you understand our home's layout, a flight of stairs led to the first floor, which had 2 bedrooms and a bathroom. Then you walked 3 steps into the kitchen and living room areas. On the second floor, a flight of stairs led to the first room. After a slight left turn, 3 small stairs lead to my room and my mother's. Next to the bathroom, we also use a small closet to store bedsheets and towels. The second flight of stairs is in the living room, where I saw her on a rainy night. I needed to get some water from the kitchen, but I didn't want to wake my sister, who was sleeping in the living room, so I didn't turn on the light. Standing in the kitchen, I noticed something unusual from the staircase. Initially, I thought it was my mother coming down to check who was in the kitchen. However, I soon realized that she wasn't moving at all. Then, I noticed a person staring at me, but it didn't seem like a typical stare. It was as if they were staring into me or through me in an eerie and unsettling way. She had peeling gray skin with holes where her eyes should have been, and a gaping black hole where her mouth would have been. It was lined with a plethora of razor-sharp teeth. I froze and ran to my sister's room. I pulled the covers over my head and closed my eyes real tight until they hurt. That's when I heard the screams. They were like 1,000 animals all dying at once in the most gruesome way you can think of. It was loud and heinous, and sounded like something out of hell. It was terrifying. I thought I was gonna pee myself. I didn't know what to expect, so I covered my ears, hoping it would soon stop. The wall shook, and it felt like the house was being lifted from its very foundation. Unfortunately, it didn't stop there. The screaming would be heard throughout the house, making my body fearless. I thought eventually it would stop or at least calm down, but unfortunately it never did. This went on for months until the house actually burned down from an electrical fire. I saw her walking out of the front door as the house was being put out. She wasn't screaming this time. Instead, she had a simple smile. I matched with a guy on Hinge, and we didn't really get to know each other much before we agreed to meet up. I was okay with this, as usually I prefer it that way, and I had never had a bad experience doing that before. We decided to see the new Saw movie and meet at the theater. When I first saw him, I thought he was so cute and he was definitely my type. I even texted my friend while he was buying our drinks to tell her how cute he was. I was really looking forward to seeing where this night might take us. My partner and I were sitting in our seats, enjoying the movie. However, he started asking me questions about my body that made me feel a bit uncomfortable, particularly about the size of my breasts and whether he could touch them. Despite my attempts to put some distance between us, he kept repositioning me closer to him. He was aroused during the goriest scenes, which made me a bit uncomfortable. The movie finally finished, and we were walking to the parking lot. It was a little walk, so it took a couple of minutes to get to where we were parked. On the way there, he was trying to convince me to get into his car, and asked if I had ever been in a Tesla. Now, a little thing about me is that I usually don't have an issue getting in somebody's car. Whether it's to drive to a different destination or just sit in the car to talk for a bit, I generally have good experiences with guys as they are usually sweet and pretty respectful. That's why I've never had a bad feeling about getting into their cars. However, when it came to this man, something inside me was telling me not to get into his car. It was almost 10 p.m. and the parking lot was somewhat empty. I told him that I was tired and needed to head home. He began walking me to my car, and that's when I realized I had parked in a secluded spot, and this made me rather nervous. We get to my car and he keeps asking me for kisses while grabbing me, and at this point I'm genuinely scared, so I told him just to peck, but I needed to get the heck out of here. I was standing alongside the driver's door, so he pressed himself against me, with his arms holding on to me. I tried pushing him off, but he wouldn't move. And then, he finally did it. I told him again, I really need to go. But he started saying please, just go with him to his car, and how he needs this. I was honestly terrified, and was still trying to be nice, so I gently shoved him down, shut him down, and got into my car and drove away. Still, as I was starting to get in, he tried to force himself on me again, and I don't know how I was able to get him off, and I just somehow did it. When he began walking to his car, I immediately drove off in fear that he would follow me or something. I just cried the whole way home. This is the first time I've told this story in its entirety, with as many details as I can. It's a bit scary, but it's nice to finally get it off my chest. This incident happened to me in my early teen years, sometime around 13 or 14 years old. It has been quite a while since then, as I'm 21 now. So some of these details may not be very fresh in my mind. For context, I grew up in a regular house with two floors, upstairs and a basement, with my older brother Luke, who is 3 years older than me. He was around 16 or 17 at the time of the event. I'm not sure if it was just our imaginations or if there were unexplainable events going down. Luke and I frequently spotted strange things in our house, including ghostly figures and shadowy apparitions. Luke and I often witnessed strange things happening. We would see an old woman singing in the rocking chair in the living room, but when we would tried to confront them, they would always disappear into thin air. Additionally, we both saw shadow figures out of the corner of our eyes. The basement was the worst, and we avoided going down there alone at all cost. The atmosphere gave us chills as if we were not alone. It's worth noting that neither of us had any mental health problems, and we still don't. We used to share our experiences with our parents, but they would often dismiss them as just our imagination. I mean, I couldn't blame them, as for a long time I thought that Luke's and my fears were feeding off of each other. However, on this particular night, I know what I saw plain and clear. This was not my or my brother's imagination. Previously, the things we would see would be very quick appearances, disappearing rather quickly, to the point that I had to question if I had really just seen that. However, this night was different entirely. My family and I had just sat down to watch a movie together. We did this often on the weekends. Anyway, before we started the movie, I got up to go to my room to grab something. I don't quite remember what I was getting. My room was just down the hall from the living room where we would be watching the movie. And when I opened the bedroom door and walked in a few feet of my room, I stopped dead in my tracks. Standing in the middle of the room, looking directly at me was, well, me. It wasn't like a solid person. It was more like a ghostly apparition. You could tell it wasn't a real person. She was just standing there, looking at me with this wide grin, unblinking, unmoving, unwavering. I remember being frozen in fear. I couldn't even scream or make a peep. I was looking at an apparition of myself. She wore the same clothes I had on in the moment, and everything about her looked just like me. I'm not sure how much time passed. It must have only been a few seconds, but it felt like several minutes. When out of nowhere, this apparition ran towards me, breaking the several feet of distance we had between us. At this point, I had regained control of myself and began turning away, about to run, but she reached out very quickly and ran right through me instead of stopping. I spun around, and she was gone. At this point, I just sped out of my room and shut the door, not even grabbing whatever I had gone in there for. I didn't even say anything to my parents or brother. I just sat on the couch as they played the movie. You can bet I didn't pay much attention to that movie, though. I just was petrified the entire time. Of course, I never told anybody about what happened until now, and I still slept in my room that night, even though I was absolutely terrified from the experience hours prior. For quite some time after that night, I was always afraid of my room, and I always kept my door open when I was there for quite a long time after. I was terrified I would see that apparition of myself again. Eventually, however, I did try my best to forget about it, and teenage life definitely helped that. It never did happen again, so I figured I could tuck it into an encounter of the back of my mind. Since that experience, I've been fascinated with the paranormal, albeit still a little scared of all things paranormal, but fascinated nonetheless. It wasn't until recently that I was listening to one of the earlier videos on this channel. Some of the stories were about doppelgangers, and they had me thinking about my own experience. I had never considered what I saw as maybe a doppelganger, but I've been doing some research recently and wonder if I did maybe see it. If anybody has any ideas, definitely let me know in the comments. To give you some background on this story, I grew up in a small town in the middle of Washington State. The town has a population of around 850 people, which means that besides a yearly parade, there isn't really anything going on, and it's kind of a dead-end town. During the time that this story takes place, people were mostly concerned about the economic crash and drugs slowly making their way into the town. But that's a whole different story for a whole different episode. In our town, where there were two gas stations that were both owned by Chinese immigrants, the events of this story took place back in 2009 when my friends and I were hanging out in the town during the summer. We all had our scooters and rode up the few streets racing each other and having conversations that weren't typical of kids our age. We talked about things like Pokemon, girls, and the latest movies and music that were popular at the time. As we were riding behind one of the old stores, we all heard a commotion going on in the street in front of us. We decided to go ahead and ride to where we heard everything, and there, I saw something I never would have expected. I saw multiple cop cars, an ambulance, and a giant pool of blood on the sidewalk across the street. A crowd of townspeople was building by this point, as nothing of this magnitude had ever really happened here. All of us in the crowd were clamoring, trying to find out what had happened, and it would take a couple of weeks to really learn the full story. There was a gas station with old-fashioned pumps. You had to turn the handle to fill up your vehicle. After filling your tank, you would pay for what you owed inside the station. Many people liked the station because it was cheaper than other ones. However, one day when a customer arrived, things took a turn for the worse. From what I heard about this after later on reading about it, the guy did all the steps except wanting to go in and pay. Almost on instinct, the station's co-owner walked out, a woman in her 40s, telling him he needed to pay for the gas. And then, without warning, he ran over to her and hit her with his vehicle, proceeded to back over her and drive over her again. From what I heard, the initial scene was awful, and she was confirmed dead at the scene. The police apprehended the man, and the local broadcast of the case gripped the town. It turned out that the man was mentally unstable, most likely suffering from some sort of paranoid schizophrenia. During the trial, he claimed that he was Jesus Christ and demanded that everyone in the court bow before him. After the trial, it was unsurprising that he was deemed insane and unfit for a murder trial. This was unexpected, given his previous criminal record, but the judge took into account that the defendant was off his medication. Following this incident, people moved on, and it's now scarcely remembered except by those who actually witnessed it. I've seen a few stories on this show in the past about how carrying a can of gas in your trunk is dangerous. First of all, that's just nonsense. First, unless someone rear-ends you while you're on fire, there's much more of a risk of explosion or fire from the gas in your tank. Secondly, the dangers you're putting yourself in by not carrying spare gas far outweigh the apparent risk of doing so. And now, I'll tell you why. I used to drive around the country a ton as a part of traveling and being a salesman. Before my retirement, I was an aluminum siding salesman, and although it was a tough job that kept me away from my family for weeks at a time, it was incredibly financially rewarding, especially in northern states like Nebraska where winter temperatures could drop to dangerous levels. So as you might have guessed, I ended up stuck by the side of the highway one rough winter when I discovered I had forgotten to top my gas can before my journey. I was furious with myself, but almost pretty frightened. The weather was making a turn for the worst, and it would be hazardous to go looking for a gas station, so I was forced to hitchhike. The thing about the Midwest is that people can be much, much friendlier than out on the East Coast. Maybe it's those rural sensibilities, but I was on that highway for a lot less time than I expected when a car pulled up on the verge, and a driver enthusiastically invited me to hop in. He told me his name was Donald, and the vehicle he was driving was like anything I'd ever seen. He turned the thing into a mobile home, and the car looked highly lived in. Laptop and phone chargers were running out of battery attachments, garbage was dumped in the footwells, and even a loudspeaker was grafted on top of the car. It almost looked like a police cruiser from some post-apocalyptic future. Anyway, I climbed into this guy's car and explained that I needed him to drive me to the nearest gas station if possible so I could get back on the road. In a raspy, gravelly voice, he agrees to help me out, and we are on our way. But as soon as we are back on the highway, he starts asking me probing questions about my life and job. When I tell him I'm an aluminum siding salesman, he starts accusing me of trying to trick sweet old ladies out of their pensions for paneling that would have them freezing to death in the winter. Now obviously I took serious offense to this. I wasn't some vulture who preyed on the weak. I took pride in my work, even if it wasn't what I dreamt of doing when I was a kid. Donald backed off a little bit at this point and grumbled an apology through gritted teeth. He told me he'd met many bad people in his life, how he didn't mean anything by it, and how he was glad I was one of the good guys. We dodged this conversational bullet when a gas station finally came into view. Donald pulled off the road where I hopped out and headed over to grab a spare gas can. At first, I figured he might drive off on me, and I silently prepared myself that to be the case. Only, he didn't. He stayed, just as he said he would. Yet, as I'm walking back over to Donald's vehicle, something catches my eye that has my heart racing. I can see a flame inside the car. Small enough to be from a cigarette lighter, but still alarming. Given that he's using a lighter in a goddamn gas station, do you really want to talk about serious dangers? There's one right there. I crack the car door and I'm about to ask him what he's thinking when I see exactly what he's doing with the lighter. Donald was burning his hair.
What the hell are you doing, man?
I remember asking him in total and utter confusion.
Saves money on the haircuts,
he replied. But here's the thing. I could hear the pain in his voice as the flames reached the scalp and fizzled out.
Besides, you gotta get it nice and hot when you're feathering it, brother.
I was utterly lost for words. He was using a cigarette lighter to style his hair. So I asked him again what he thought he was doing, using a lighter at a goddamn gas station. He snapped back at me, but I asserted that I was holding a freaking gas canister in my hand and he should put that thing away before I got back in. But that's not even the weirdest thing he did. Driving me back to my car, Donald began complaining about tooth pain. I sympathized a great deal. My daughter had some dental work done that previous year, and it had cost us a fortune. That and tooth pain can be terrible. So I began to relate the story of my daughter's ordeal. That's when he began to growl and pull over to the side of the road. He seemed furious, and at first I was worried he would try to kick me out of the car, right then and there, on the side of this icy highway. But I could never have anticipated what he did next. Donald reached under the driver's seat and pulled out one of the biggest freaking hunting knives I had ever seen in my life. He looked at me, holding the thing tight in his grip, and gave me a wolfish grin. I'm not embarrassed to admit that I was terrified. The guy wasn't playing with a full deck, if you're catching my meaning, and I slowly prepared to throw myself out of the passenger side if he went for me with the blade. But he didn't. Instead, Donald put the knife into his mouth and I heard the sharp edge grind against one of his teeth as he bit down on it. I remember desperately wanting to ask him what he was doing, but the words just wouldn't come out. But all I could do was watch as a few drops of blood suddenly bubbled between his lips and ran down his chin. He was ripping his goddamn tooth out with the knife blade. It was horrific, and in the end, I couldn't bring myself to watch as he grunted and growled, his raspy voice grinding in agony as he dislodged a tooth with a sickening crunch. As I said, I wasn't watching, but I listened as he spat the broken tooth into his palm, rolled down the window, and tossed it onto the highway.
You could have saved a few dollars on your daughter like that, brother,
he said, in between spitting out mouthfuls of blood through the open driver's door window. Again, I couldn't find the words. I was utterly just left in shock and disbelief at what I had been witnessing. Luckily, we rolled up to my gasless car not long after, and as promised, David slowed to a stop and let me out, which helped me get back on the road. I thanked him genuinely, and all he did was let out his horrifying gravelly laugh. It sounded genuinely evil, but I don't think he was meaning any harm. He was just manic. I still think about Donald sometimes and wonder how he's doing, if he still lives in that car performing self-surgery. But on that off chance, he comes across this story somehow. Thanks, Donald. But please get some help. At the time, I was a 20-year-old female who had just moved to a small upstate town. I had grown up in a slightly larger town about 60 miles away and just wanted a new start. I love camping and often go camping in the Adirondacks, but at the time, I hadn't yet made friends to go camping with, so I wasn't going to go into the real woods alone, if you know what I mean. Down the road from me, I had been walking around and found an area where the power lines cut through a wooded section. The power lines were perpendicular to the road. It was near a house, but far enough to the right to the place where I don't think anybody would see me if they were walking the trail that the power lines made. I'm not sure about other countries, but in the United States, they keep power lines clear in case of maintenance. So I wander up there, noticing how it's pretty deep woods, and how far I can get away from the house that I saw on the road, they couldn't possibly think I'm trying to break in. And then, bing, I get an idea. I could go camping up here. It's secluded enough to give the natural woods experience, but close enough to the road that I wouldn't be in danger of wildlife or anything like that. So, I do. I set up camp in this little clearing that I accessed by climbing the hill, following the power lines, then turned left onto what seemed to be some sort of deer trail. Deer are absolutely everywhere in New York. Then I came upon this lovely, flat, grassy clearing. After clearing the dead wood away, I built my fire off to the side. I'm feeling brilliant and independent. It was creepy to sleep in the woods alone. Sure, as I had always had at least one camping companion. But hey, whatever. New experiences build new skills, you know? I wandered further down the path the next day to see where it led. I walked for about an hour, and I can see some fields on the right, but they are in the distance, and there is a fence between the fields and the path. So again, I figure people can't be mad for me being here. Then I come across another path. Heading to the right, I follow it. A couple of feet in, it curves slightly, and there's an old van to the left of the path. Well, that's strange, but it's about 1 p.m. near noon anyway, in broad daylight, and the birds are chirping, so I don't really feel in danger. I go up to the van, which had been there for a very long time, clearly. It was like a 70s style make, it made me kind of think of Scooby-Doo, and there were overgrown weeds all around it. There are streaks of brownish red going down the side from the bottom of the doors. I looked in and saw what appeared to be an old bedding or something in the back, but it was all shredded up and the curtains in the windows were shredded as well. There was clothing strewn about. It looked like the clothing was from the 70s or early 80s. I still felt no danger per se. Snickering at the terrible fashions back in the day, I continued along the path for a short time, until I finished rounding another slight bend. I stopped dead in my tracks. Finally, my reptile sense went off, or whatever you call it. I wake the hell up, and my head is screaming at a total volume that I've never heard before. Up ahead, there is this creepy-ass doll hanging from the tree, by its neck, with a noose. Not just stuck in the trees, but just left there as it was hanging. It was terrifying, to say the least. To the right of it, though, there was this huge cage-like structure, easily big enough to hold a full-sized human. It seems to be made up of pipes and other long metal objects, just welded together. Some were up, some were down, some were across, and the squares they made weren't big enough to fit my head through, let alone anything else. Not that I tried, anyway. It had four sides and a ceiling. It had other creepy-ass dolls hanging from it. It also had reddish-brown stains running down the sides, just like the van. Further behind it in the distance was a run-down house. Creeped out as hell, I just turned tail and ran. I am not a runner by any means. I am a chunky girl, and I have smoked for more than 6 years, and I do not run. But I ran that day. I don't even remember the run, and I remember coming up upon my campsite, grabbing my tent in one swoop as I ran past. Luckily, I had put all my things into the tent. Ripping it out of the ground as I continued running, I left my cooler, my food, and all that stuff behind. I never went back for it either, and sometimes I kind of feel bad about that, though. I dropped the tent stakes along the way and had to repair rips in my tent. I tore down that hill. I'm still surprised it didn't break my neck or ankle. Jumped in my car and sped home. I locked all my doors, then paced my house going, "What the hell? What the hell? What the hell?" for hours. It's been 11 years since that incident, and even typing it now makes my hands shake. I currently live almost 1,400 miles away, but I still made sure my doors were locked. And they are. The crazy thing is I wasn't even that deep in the woods. Maybe in the 1970s it would have been, who knows. As it stands now, though, people live within a short walk of this place. And no, I know you will ask, I did not call the cops. I can't articulate why. My best analysis looking back is that I didn't want the creep to find me. I should have probably called them at the very least. You are probably right there. I hope it was an old crime scene and not some sick man who still keeps people in cages in the woods. Thanks for listening to these creepy and downright strange and disturbing horror stories that'll freak you out tonight. Now, I know a lot of these stories aren't typically the ones I would cover on this channel, but I thought it would be fun to read something a little bit new. If you guys enjoyed these stories, please be sure to let me know by slapping that like button, and be sure to throw down a comment in the comment section. The more likes, comments, and just interaction in general this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it, and that helps the swamp grow its ever-expanding waters. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Be sure to subscribe and turn on notifications so you don't miss a new episode. I upload multiple videos every single week on all things natural and supernatural. I'd love to know in the comments down below what story was your favorite tonight. And if you're on the go, but don't have YouTube Premium, but still want to download and listen to your favorite swamp dweller scary stories no matter where you go, absolutely free, you can download them from Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and pretty much everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. Thank you guys so much for supporting the swamp the way you do. Be sure to join me over on social media on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, Instagram, Facebook, all the other fun places. I post funny cryptid memes on Instagram quite a bit, so if you're into that kind of stuff, definitely come join me over there. And I'll talk to you and see you all soon with another creepy episode.